Here we go again, it's the game we love.
Play game.
Keep our minds on the game.
All the game.
You are listening to KBOO Community Radio, and this is Winner's Bias, America's first, best, and only board game radio show.
Until proven otherwise.
A show usually about board games, but today about buying more games while you have a catalogue of unfinished, unplayed games. I am your host today, James, and with me is my good friend, the board game connoisseur, Nate. How are you doing, Nate?
I'm doing well. I mean, you're taking over today, but I'm still at the board, so I'm like, what's going on here? You're supposed to be over here.
No, I'm just taking over the talking, the chatting, which brings up you can comment on our show live using the OLARC messaging system of kboo.org. Just click on the chat button on the lower right corner of the window. And as you can tell today, things have probably changed. You're listening to me, usually the co-host, James. But Nate's the co-host today, because today we're mixing it up. I'm doing a takeover, and we're doing a show about video games instead of board games. We're getting rid of the nerdy stuff that a board game and bringing in the cool stuff of video games.
Yeah, like the dominant culture of games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The bigger, better video.
The billion-dollar industry.
Yeah. I feel like you're making fun of me somehow, but I don't get it.
No, I'm not making fun of you. It's just a fact.
It's a fact.
Video games are more popular than board games. Yeah. I'm cutting edge, like, being into board games. That's all. You know, I'm ahead of the curve.
All right. So I wanted to start today to give a quick rundown of our relationships with video games. So I'll start with me, and then you can explain why you're boring and you don't like them. All right, I started playing video games when I was really young. I can't remember what age, but it was on the console in England. It's called Sega Mega Drive. I think in America it was called the Genesis or Saturn.
Really? Sega Genesis.
It's the Mega Drive in England. Yeah. So I was playing Sonic. I was playing Toe Jam and Earl. I was playing a game which was a 7-Up game called Cool Spot, where you play as the mascot of 7-Up. And, you know, it was a fun little game. And I've been playing ever since. I think why I like video games has changed throughout the years. When I was younger, it was because it was fun. It was entertaining. It's always been that, but that was the main thing when I was younger. When I was a teenager, that's how we played with our friends. We all got on online, or you went around your friend's house and you played games. And now it's kind of a way for me to escape the world and just ignore everything a little bit, which is not the best, but it's how I deal with it.
That's fair. And so now we're going to reveal how much older I am than James.
Yes.
Because my first system was the NES. Or I guess in England, you guys just call it NES.
It's just the NES.
That's crazy.
The NES and the SNES.
The Nintendo Entertainment.
You were before the SNES. Yeah. You had the NES.
Yeah. The Nintendo Entertainment System. And even though I don't play video games much these days, I do play some with my kids. Maybe the largest driver of nostalgia for me, I'm not a particularly nostalgic person, but seeing the boxes for the original Nintendo cartridges is just like sense memory sending me way back to the late 80s, mid to late 80s when I was playing Nintendo or getting them or going to Toys R Us and you'd take the little sleeve out, the little price sleeve, and you'd have to walk it up to the front and all of the video games were behind a partition and you had to hand them the sleeve and they would go get the game for you and you would have paid ahead of time and you'd turn the sleeve in. Like, so much nostalgia is based for me around that experience
around
and seeing
those cartridges.
Something
you'll never do again.
Yeah, no. And now you don't even have to leave your house to buy a video game.
It's great. You don't even have to buy it on like Amazon. You buy it from the console.
Yeah, like buy it for your Steam, whatever. It's just I'm just going to sit at home. Oh, new game. Got it.
Which I'm going to say, I used to hate the idea of it going digital. I was like, I like my physical copies. I like seeing them all there lined up. But, you know, I kind of like the digital now.
Well, it makes Christmas and other like gift giving times a little anticlimactic because there's nothing actually to hand
We've
someone.
We've gone through that.
It's like, have you logged into your gaming system yet?
Have you
to
checked
see
your
what
email?
You got?
But then also, I feel like the game should be cheaper if there's no, like, if they don't have to put up in a store and have a case and have a manual and have a cover and that. It should be cheaper.
I mean,
I agree with that, but
considering how many games are just like, this is going to give you 40, 50 hours of experience, I could definitely see them justifying it. Like, we put so much more in on the front end of, like, story development, but that could be all, like, bunk.
That's how they get away with it.
Yeah, that's just, they just know the market will sustain the prices.
So tell me, you are a bigger fan of board games than video games, me the other way. Why don't you like video games so much? Why are you such a terrible person?
Well, it's primarily because there's a few reasons. Board games are a way for me to get away from screens, and I already spend a lot of time in front of screens. I used to watch about a movie a day anyway. I don't do that much anymore, but I used to watch movies all the time. So just being able to get away from that. I like the community around board games with a bunch of people sitting around a table. Video gaming these days seems to be more remote, where you're just like interacting with people through the internet and maybe you can talk to them. But I never engaged with that, and it's just like, I want to be in the room with people. That's the way I grew up playing video games. That's the way I enjoy it. I enjoy being able to, like, just be next to someone and gently make fun of them or have them gently make fun of me, to get to see them getting their, like, oh, I'm going to chuck the controller across the room. But mostly, I am a completionist, and the video games these days are very good at giving you side quests to complete. And so if I play the new Mario Brothers game, I not only have to beat it, but I have to find all the extra stars in it, and I have to find all the extra stuff, because sometimes it unlocks a new level if you get them all. And they just do a good job of tricking me into playing the game a lot more than I want to. And so I just stay away, because it'll eat up all my time.
That is the fun part about video games, though, is completing it to the point that's like 110%. I love it when it does that. It's like, oh, you've completed it, but you know you're 110%. That's what it's there for, is to waste even more of your time.
Yeah, and they do a very good job of it.
But you should play like the smaller indie games that are like maybe 5 to 10 hours long, and it's just a story that they tell A to B, and it's done.
Well, I do play some things with my kids. Like, we play Gang Beasts, which is a small indie game.
That's
just a silly fighting game. We play Mario Kart and Smash Brothers, but like nothing that's going to demand any more time. Like, I have an easy in, easy out. Here's the other problem I have with video games, is for me, this is a me thing. I will get involved with the game. The last time this happened to me was Resident Evil 4 for the Wii.
Oh, that's a good one, yeah.
And I made it, I don't know, a third of the way through, halfway through, and then just life happened, and I put the game down for a couple months, and then I tried to play it again. I was like, oh, I've forgotten everything I had learned. I don't know how to play, and I'm starting at a level that's way too hard for my skill level, and so I was just getting beat down, and I was like, well, this isn't fun anymore. Like, if you're going to go through games like that, you'd need to stick with them so you don't lose your muscle memory for that thing.
I'm with you. I feel like they should have like a little quick little like video you can watch that you just go into settings and be like, remind me of the controls quickly, or like the story up to this point, because I've done that before and had to restart a game just to get that. All right, I'm going to move on because you keep yapping. On our first...
I can't give up the show, James.
I can't let you have it. Put it on my hands. When we first started this, on our first episode, you gave me a quiz of board game lingo. I have made my own video game lingo. Some tabletop RPG lingo in there, just thrown in for added. So I'm going to give you a quiz.
Do it.
And you get to do the sound effects as if you get them right or wrong. The little dings or the burr.
Wait, I have to make my own sound
effects? I did that.
Okay.
When I run, I went a ding.
Okay.
See, obviously, you just don't remember.
I don't remember. I barely listen when you talk. This show's all about me. This is very hard, James.
All right, we're going to start easy. I thought this was going to be hard, then I remember there's a bar with this name here, and you brought it up the other day. TPK.
That's Total Player Kill. Total Party Kill. It's when in an RPG game, your whole party is killed by the dungeon master, game master, or whatever, right?
See, I thought that was a good one, and then I was like, actually, no, I forgot about that. What about...
It is a good one, though.
What about BBEG? Another tabletop RPG one.
BBEG?
Yes.
I can't even... All I want to say is something related to baseball. No. So I have no idea.
Big, bad...
Endgame?
Evil guy. Evil this guy. Is the final boss.
Yeah, well, Endgame's close.
BBEG. All right. If I said, this is going to video games, if I said up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, start, what is that?
That's the, is it Konami code?
Oh, you got it.
Yeah. Well, that's from my era.
That is from your era. Yeah. What is it from, though? What
Contra?
Yeah. What does it do?
It gives you, is it unlimited lives or unlimited ammo?
Lives. You're getting good at this. I've got to go a bit harder. I have got ones. Then you know the Nintendo DS?
I know it, yes.
Do you know what the DS stands for?
Digital Savior.
That was terrible.
I know, I have no idea.
It's dual screen. There's dual two screens, yeah. Man.
I never played that one.
You didn't play it? A great
no,
one.
I stopped at Game Boy. I didn't even get the Game Boy Color.
Oh.
That's the only reason I was allowed to have Mortal Kombat 2 for a period was because I was on Game Boy and not in color, so I couldn't see the blood.
All right, I'm going to go into types of games now. What is a Metroidvania?
Sounds like a sort of quest game in the style of Metroid or Castlevania.
Yeah, basically, it's made from those two games, made from those two games where you can you go around an area map and where you get new abilities or new things and that will help you get into other areas of the map, so you have to backtrack and go somewhere else to maybe get a new ability or a new thing, but you just jump around the map. I liked Metroidvanias. They're one of my favorites. What is the difference between a roguelike and a roguelite?
I barely know what a rogue... I don't even know which one I know. One of them's just one of those things where you're just doing like a run through in one sitting. Is one... I don't know. It's one like on a map, and one's just like you're constantly batting new bosses. You go through a level. One, you just battle bosses.
The only difference, so it's from the game Rogue, where you just do runs, and then if you die, you start at the beginning. You go back over, see how far you get. That's what roguelike is. It's the same as a rogue game. A roguelite is the same, but you keep your upgrades, so you can upgrade to get better and better, and then you keep those.
So every time you die, you don't get weak again.
No, you keep the money or the upgrades, and you keep so you can power yourself up.
Easy mode, basically.
Yeah. What is an RTS?
It's a system of some kind, I'm guessing.
Type of game.
It's a type of game. Well, yeah, I assume it's a type of game. You're quizzing me on types of game stuff.
What do you mean, like a game system?
RTS? I have no idea.
Real-time strategy.
I probably could have gone.
I don't like real-time strategies. I don't like roguelikes. Do you know, my friend once said to me that for someone who really likes games and who plays a lot of games, you don't like many types of games.
I feel like that's describing board gamers to a T. Like, everyone has this niche that they fit in, and you're like, oh, wait, you like Warhammer 2? I thought you were a Euro gamer. I do have a friend that is probably the biggest Omni gamer. Shout out, Chris. But that was just my reflection. Oh, okay. I was watching my reflection. James looked over his shoulder when I said, shout out, Chris. Like, Chris was standing over
the window
shoulder.
Like, oh, my God, Chris is here. No, Chris. All right. I have to reset because I think it's that time to reset.
Yeah, go ahead and reset.
Oh, why not? I'll reset. You're listening to KBOO Portland. If you're just tuning in, I'm James, here with Nate. And this is James' takeover episode of Winner's Bias. Hooray!
So, huzzah.
Huzzah. All right, you didn't give yourself the winning or losing tunes.
Oh, I was too into the quiz.
I know,
I
it was
forgot.
A very good quiz.
Yeah.
I do have one more.
Trivia is like, I love trivia, so like this is like,
well,
you know, you're going to get me
focused
here.
We're
going
to speed through these two more, just because you love it so much. What is PvP/PvE?
Player versus player. Player versus enemy.
Well, I used to think it was everyone. Like, it was just like a big... But it's environment.
Environment.
So gotcha. A normal game, you just... What about... Yeah. What is a Souls game?
A Souls game?
Yeah.
Like, Souls?
Yeah. There's different... There's Souls. There's Souls-like, and there's Souls-lite. But we're going to... Just
I really
aim
think,
on Souls.
I really feel like the video game community needs to adapt their language to not have the thing sound so similar.
I mean, this is just the same as the music community.
You really need to enunciate the like
Rogue
and light.
Souls?
Souls game?
A Souls game.
I have no idea. There's like, I know there's, was it, there's like a Soul Keeper game or Soul something? I don't know.
Close. Yeah, it's a game like, I can't remember what they're called now.
Oh no, the Quizmaster. What's happened
to you? It's a game by FromSoft. It's a game company called FromSoftware, and it's the games made by them. Yeah. And they're usually very, very hard games where it's like you will just basically go around fighting enemies and you fight a big boss, which is mostly just dodge, 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 and then hit a little bit, then dodge, dodge, and they have huge lives. I don't like them. I find it boring.
Well, yeah, because you're dodging all the time.
You just dodge, you die, then you die, then you die, and you do it over again. Some people love them, like Souls games, like Elden Ring. Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you, James. I think I did okay.
You did better than I expected.
Well, you did have some stuff from the era when I was playing games, so that was helpful.
Yeah. So there we go. I did that. I put those in just for you. All right, I want to move in to core gaming memories, core moments of when you played games that stuck in your brain, obviously, because they're core and they just helped you carry on. I will go first. I'm going to start with the first time a game made me cry, which was a big moment for me. I was a teenager and there was this game I heard about called To the Moon. What are you laughing at me?
Sorry, I was just imagining the game called you a name and you started crying.
It was a mean game. No, there was a game called To the Moon, and I heard it was sad, and I was a teenager with like lacking empathy, and I was like, games can't make you cry. I'm going to play this to prove that I am a big, strong boy, and nothing's going to hurt me. And it's a game about you are like scientists, and you go through terminal people's memories to help them relive things they regret. And it was a good little indie game, a little side-scrolling pixelated indie game, and it destroyed me while I played it.
It sounds devastating.
It
James.
Is so devastating. It was a lovely game. I will never play it again, but no. It is up top there, one of my favorite games, just because it managed to do that to me.
Yeah, that sounds gut-wrenching, like watching the movie Dear Zachary. Like, never want to do it again.
Maybe, I don't know. Do you have any?
Yeah,
we'll go back and forth.
My big core memory is
I know you enjoy talking so much, don't want to keep you from doing it.
I know, thank you, I appreciate that. My big core memory is just staying up till 4 a.m. playing GoldenEye with my high school friends. I was lucky enough to not have a curfew. As long as my parents knew where I was, I could stay out as late as I wanted, and we would just hang out and play GoldenEye until the early morning.
GoldenEye does seem to be a popular core memory for you old people.
Yeah, it definitely is. I can't play it now because I get motion sick playing first-person perspective games because I am old and I've lost my ability to not get sick even on a swing set.
And honestly, unless you have friends over, it's not as fun anymore.
No, they're definitely not as fun without people there.
Yeah.
That's like one of the things. It's just like, I want people there.
It just ruins it. I don't want to go too deep into that, but yeah.
No place for going deep into things.
No, it's emotional stuff. All right. This I got another cool memory. You said you are a completionist. This is a version of this. This is when I became an achievement hunter. So on the consoles, Xbox 360, you get achievements for doing things. And it's a lovely little ding, and you get points that mean nothing. And it's just a little dose of like serotonin added to your day. And I fell in love with them. And the game I fell in love with achievements on, which is such a weird game, is Wolverine's Origins, which is a terrible movie, but a great game. And I, to the point where I loved that game, it was a fun game. I finished it and then I went back to make sure I got all the achievements and heard all the dings and all heard the lovely little serotonin added to my pile to make me feel better about sitting in front of a TV for hours. And that's when I became an achievement hunter, and still am, and it will ruin games for me to the point where I'll be like, I won't play that game because there'd be too many achievements I can't get, or it would take too long for me to get the achievements. I cannot touch that game because it would just be a time sink.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was also kind of like half listening because I was thinking of other core memories. So all about me.
I do that as well when you're talking to me. I'm like, I have to think of something.
Yeah,
I know.
We need to fill the time.
Yeah.
I have like a couple of core memories involving my parents. One is like, I lost all of my dad's favorite Nintendo games. Like one of them I left at the Camp Hill, I'm from Pennsylvania, Camp Hill swimming pool.
You brought a video game to a swimming pool?
Someone returned it to me there, and I left it. And then that was the DuckTales video game. I left Marble Madness on the runner of my car, my mom's van, because someone, again, returned it to me, and I just put it down because we were playing outside, and my mom drove off, and then don't know where it went. And that was Marble Madness, and I lost like my dad's favorite games. And I tried to replace them later in life. I got DuckTales 2. I got Marble Madness on Genesis, I think, but it just wasn't the same.
It just wasn't the same, and you will forever be a terrible son.
Yeah, and then there's a time my mom played the American Gladiator game on Nintendo with me and was shockingly good at the game because she didn't play video games at all, and I just kind of got her to do it, and she was like, why do your fingers move so fast? Like, why can you do this so well?
Did she beat you?
She beat me at some of the events. I don't remember if she beat me at everything, but I remember her doing particularly well on the wall, which was a very challenging thing.
Is that the one with the wall? Oh, we had this show. The wall moves?
No, you're just racing up the wall and someone's coming up behind you to try to pull you off the wall.
One of the gladiators.
Yeah.
All right.
Or a random person, maybe, you know, someone who just onto the
jumping
set.
Out. Yeah, you know? He just loves to climb walls and pull people down. He's not allowed to play in play areas anymore because of that. All right, I mentioned it earlier, but when I was in my teenage years, I think this will be my last core memory. Online gaming, specifically Halo 3, where me and my friends would all go to our own homes because we're teenagers and this is the new generation, and we would all get into Halo 3 and do the online multiplayer battles, and we'd just be in a big group of 4 to 5 of us, and it was so much fun. It's just destroying other teams and just feeling like you're the best, and yeah, it was just a great time. And like, I think I was just at the perfect age for it, and it was the perfect game, and it was just hours and hours of endless fun of just one more match before I go to bed, and you never end up going to bed. It's just great fun.
That is one of the appeals to the remote gaming, is that like nobody has to go home at a certain time because you're already home. So that is a very nice element
to it. And
you
can just pop off to eat, then come back on and join in, and you could all just do that or go to the toilet and come back. You don't have to pause the game.
Yeah. It still just seems so weird to me to just be like, hey, you're like leaving school and be like, hey, you know what? I'll meet you online in 10 minutes instead of just coming over. And now you have to like have multiple copies of some games if you want to play them even within the same house.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think of which one my kids have. It's not worth me trying to remember, but there's like one thing where it's like, oh, I have to get another copy so he can jump on, and that's silly.
There is a co-op game that came out called It Takes Two, where you do need two people to play. But only one person has to buy the game, and then anyone else who plays with them gets the game for free while you play. And I thought that was a lovely, lovely thing.
It's pretty good. All right, what else you got for us, James?
I'm going to move on to something I've been trying to shove into the show since we started, which I've been calling Kiddie's Corner.
And I said, James, no, we cannot do this. We don't cater to children around here.
And I'm going to talk about good games to start with, to start kids on. I'm not going to be doing Minecraft or any Mario games because everyone knows that I want to go into like more smaller, some of these aren't small, but different games that I am taking of like what my 8-year-old has enjoyed from growing up. Starting with any Lego game. You can go to any if they like Marvel, if you like superheroes, Batman, you could do those. There's Star Wars ones, there's
Jurassic Park,
there's Lord of the Rings, there's Indiana Jones, there's so many you can choose from. You can find out what your kid likes, and then you can play it with them. And it's like short missions for short attention spans. Another good one, Dreamlight Valley, which is like an Animal Crossing / Sims with Disney characters, and you like on like a little island, and you make these Disney characters their houses, and you do missions, and you do farming. I hate this kind of game, but it's a cozy game, and my wife and kid loves it, and it might be fun for other kids. Another one, Donut County, which is a cute little indie game where you are a hole. There's a whole story behind it, but you're a hole and you just
a whole story.
A whole story about this hole that a donut stop shop sends to houses. And you just like move this hole around, things fall in and the hole gets bigger and you can suck in bigger things. And you, yeah.
That sounds like that IO, that hole.io game.
It is basically that, but yeah. There's a story behind it and it's cute animals and it's raccoons.
Cute animals that get swallowed up by the hole.
Yeah, you suck them up. You make them fall into the hole. And the last one I got is Little to the Left / Unpacking, which is two different games. But you got Unpacking, which all you do is you open up boxes and you move things. You unpack like someone's just moved into a house and you go through someone's life story by doing this in the background. You just see them get older and move on, and then you can tell how they're going through their life. It's just a cute little game.
James, it sounds sad again.
No, it's always happy. It's happy. This one's happy. But when you're 8 years old, my kid doesn't realize the story, and she just enjoys taking the things out of the boxes and putting them in different areas.
So it's a way of like indoctrinating your children to putting stuff away.
I mean, it doesn't work in real life, but I wish it did.
It's a slow build. It's like training a puppy.
Yeah. And Little to the Left is kind of, it's like almost like a puzzle where you got lots of little things and you try and fit them together. Sometimes you have a drawer and you've got to fit them all into the right shaped areas. Sometimes it will be like lots of circles and you've got to make them all fit. It's just a fun little indie game and I really enjoy it. All right, that's my kiddie corner that I've ham-fisted into an episode finally, into this takeover episode of mine. I should do more, I hear.
No, it's great. I loved it. Thank you, James.
Yeah,
no. And I guess we should probably get started on the wrap up here.
Yeah, so thank you for listening to Winner's Bias and my takeover episode. If you would like to comment on the show, have any questions or suggest discussion topics, you can email us at winnersbias@kboo.org or go to our Instagram at winnersbias. I'm James.
And I'm Nate. And we'll work on that a little, you know, for the next time.
That was perfect.
We want to remind you that KBOO is a volunteer-powered community platform. That means we are funded by you, the listener. If you enjoyed the program today, please consider showing your support by making a donation or go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. And before we go, I got a little bit of time. I do want to let you all know that next week, we're going to be running a competition, for a board game from my collection, what? Fury of Dracula. It's out of print. I'm going to be giving it away. It's in great condition.
Oh my goodness.
Just be prepared for next week, you know, tell all your friends Fury of Dracula is going to be given away. You don't know what the competition's going to be, but yeah.
This is like an expensive game.
It's out of print right now, so... I'm a generous guy, you know.
He is.
And sorry, I gotta get this all ready because I'm not used to doing this part with you.
Did you say what the competition is? Are you gonna say?
No, I'm not gonna say what the competition is. It's a secret. I don't want them to study up.
Oh no, that's fair. That's fair.
So yeah,
no studying.
I know it's fair. I'm a fair guy.
It's a pop quiz.
All right, I'm gonna do my outro line.
Okay, you go for it.
And remember, it's not about the games you play, but giving your friends their time to shine. Goodbye, everybody.
Have a good one. Skin.